Dr. Malachi Z. York have devoted his visit to this planet to the resurrection of the mentally dead, which he affectionately referred to it as mummies. Never did he know that the evil one had done such a great job with these people, both mentally and physically, as to have them hate self and kind. His greatest dilemma and hindrance has been the black devil, born amongst you and by you, married to you, socializing with you, praying in the same sacred houses of worship as you. But secretly, they have a spiritual pact with the devil, which makes it near impossible for them to total surrender to Nwapu. But for the few chosen from the many called, he sifts to find those beings that wish to become one with the Supreme in all. So he, the Supreme Grand Hierophant, Amun Nebi Re'akata, as known throughout the mystical schools, the incarnation of Tahuti, Thoth, student of the great tomb known as Atumre, the first point of resurrection from ignorance to the right knowledge, the right wisdom, and the right understanding. Dr. Malachi Z. York has blended in with each of the religions most interesting to his people. He has lived as one of them, practiced as one of them in order to reveal the misconceptions of these doctrines that have plagued and diseased the minds of his people. Among the Arabs of al-Islam in the degree of Mohammedism, he was known as Sayyid Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi, or simply Imam Isa. Being fluent in the many dialects as well as the classical Arabic language, he translated word for word without biasness in favor of the Islamic religion, the Quran, from Syriac Arabic into English. He sat beneath the great Shahuf as a student, one of which was Mahmud Muhammad Mahmud, and the great master, Karama Sheikh al-Husan of the Kalawatiya order of Sufis out of Sudan, as a Mahdiya or Ansar. As a Moorish American, under Noble Jew Ali as M. York L., he republished and revised the Holy Quran, Circle 7. Their connection with the NOI, Nation of Islam, known as the Black Muslims, encouraged him to do an in-depth study of the teachings of Master W.D. Fard, Allah in person, to his final messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He released several books explaining in depth their doctrine, which led him to another ex-member of the Nation of Islam called Clarence 13X, a self-styled Allah who founded the 5% Nation of Gods and Goddesses. Dr. York collected data and published the Problem Book, their interpretation of the English class lessons of the Nation of Islam. Amongst the Hebrew Israelites, while in the degree of Mosesism, he was known as Rabboni Yahshua Bar El Hadi. As a Hebrew, he was bar mitzvahed by the great Rabbi Matthews of Harlem. Through the school of Judaism, he translated the Torah and the Psalms from the ancient Hebrew into English. Amongst the Christians, in the degree of Christism, he was known as Reverend Malachi Z. York, or Dr. York, pastor and founder of the Egyptian Church of Christ, through the school of Christism. He translated and explained the Book of Revelation from Galilean Arabic and the ancient Greek. In this day and time, he received the new holy tablet, our own scripture that each day, as scientists, astronomers, and the like, uncover new evidence confirming that it was indeed divinely inspired, and is not merely a book, but a revelation, a holy scripture with prophecies of the future which are manifesting daily. Also, he translated the book of the coming forth by day, called the Egyptian Book of the Dead, from hieroglyphics as Amenubiru-Akata. He also released a series of books called Behind the Nine Ball and Bible Interpretations and Explanations. He felt it was his duty as the true reformer and savior to his people to make that which is unclear, clear. He have also revealed the doctrine of those called the Hebrew Israelites and the like with a series of books called 360 Questions to Ask and three volumes of over 1,000 pages, each entitled The Degree of Mosesism, The Degree of Christism, and Degree of Mohammedism, covering any question that anyone could have pertaining to any of the three monotheistic religions. He has also traveled the rough and rugged path of Freemasonry and have arrived at the Imperial Grand Potentate internationally of the Ancient Arabic and Oriental Order, Nobles of the Mystic Shrine, New Mecca Temple, number 11. And IGP of AEO and NMS Al-Mahdi Temple, Northern and Southern Jurisdiction, the Worshipful Master of Nuwabian Grand Lodge, AF and AM, also Deputy Grand Master Pride of Georgia Grand Lodge, AF and AM, 33rd Scottish Rite Freemason of Amos Grand Lodge of Macon, Georgia. He entered the order of the Acacia under the most worshipful master, the illustrious Charles Tinsley, 33rd degree at King Solomon's Lodge, number 4 of Brooklyn, New York, the Grand Enoch Lodge in Brooklyn, New York, on Putnam and Nostrum Avenue. Prince Hall affiliated, and of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite Freemasonry, AF and AM jurisdiction of Georgia, called Zerubbabel, Grand Chapter, Royal Arch Mason, United States and Canada. His travels took him throughout the world, from sitting with the mystics and the monks under the Tibetan master Lama Mutkukuma of China, to the Grand Lodge in Cairo, Egypt, Northeast Africa, to being a member of the Rosicrucian Order since 1974, as well as Astara Mystic Order since 1975 AD, for more than 25 years. As the Supreme Grand Hierophant of the Ancient Egyptian Order, AEO, Mir No. 9, his family has been Freemasons for generations in Virginia's then Shriners Temple No. 122, Newport News, Virginia, and Daughters of Isis, then Court No. 98, Prince Hall affiliated. He stepped on to the White Lodge Freemasonry from the Black Egyptian mystery as Tahuti, Thoth, called Hermes, thrice times great, the possessor of the Master's Key, keeper of the secret word to become a Haru, Horus, a companion of the great Hierophant, I am Hotep, the scribe of the secret doctrine, conferrer of the 720 degrees in the secret number 9, and the guardian of the ninth gate, raising from the ninth chamber the secret, which will give you the power to realign yourselves. He was there, which is here, when the word, let there be light, was uttered. He has stood the test of time. He has been questioned by scholars and historians of all religions and denominations. Dr. Malachi Z. York is capable of answering the unanswered and solving the problems of the world. Yet, his personal interest is in each and every one of you. He says, I am not a holy man or a preacher. I am a master teacher. He have resurrected in the West the ancient fraternity, AEO, with healing in his wings, the spiritual order of our ancestors, the Egyptians, and your true bloodline under the reincarnation of Netir Amenubidu Akata, your Aferti, Pharaoh, for this day and time, Atumre. He have experienced all the religions and sacred orders, and now bring you the ancient Egyptian order, AEO, the true order of the Egyptians, that which gave birth to all others, and in this day and time has become the fastest growing movement for world peace of the new millennium. You have found your way to that which you have sought all your life. And now, I introduce to you the man of the hour, Dr. Malachi Z. York.
وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الوالي الكريم وصلى الله على انبياء اجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين اما بعد Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it and that he is alone and has no part And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of his prophets and his apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the God. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
And now, The True Light, featuring Ex-Sayyid Al-Imam Isa Al-Hadi Al-Mahdi.
I have quite a few questions, so this may take some time. What is the relationship between the cursed seed of Canaan and the unholy angels, if there is any?
If there's any what?
If there's any relationship between the two.
Okay. The way in Christianity, they tell you to be born again, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And they say you must be full of the Holy
Spirit.
Well, in Al-Islam, Muslims are told the same thing, that in the night of power, Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while in the cave, the angel Gabriel, who we know the Bible calls the Holy Spirit, right? Because it says the Holy Spirit appeared to Mary. Then it later on tells you that was the angel Gabriel. All right? Mm-hmm. So the angel Gabriel came to Rasulullah Muhammad and opened his chest. Allah Nasra, we said in the Quran, expanded his chest for him and inspired him to receive the scriptures. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if we go back to Genesis and we see that certain righteous angels, this is Genesis 6, certain righteous angels were cast down from heaven and certain unrighteous angels were cast down from heaven, which the book of Ezekiel speaks about, then we know there must be Holy Spirits on earth and there must be what?
Unholy Spirits.
Unholy Spirits on earth. So there are people like in the Pentecostal church who are getting unholy spirits and speaking in gibberish and casting themselves on the floor and foaming out the mouth and saying to the world that they're getting a Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit does not descend that way. The Holy Spirit descended in the disciples of the Messiah and gave them the power to speak in different tongues, as the book of Acts explains, not speaking in gibberish. So yes, there is a link between the unholy spirits and the sons of Canaan, the cursed seed, because their soul, or I should say their spirit, is the spirit of these demons, unholy spirits. That's who drives their emotions, as opposed to your emotions, which are stimulated by the Holy Spirit. And a lot of blacks can get unholy spirits, like in voodoo religions, right? And in a Pentecostal church, where people call themselves getting the Holy Ghost, or getting unholy spirits. No Holy Ghost sent down from the Heavenly Father is going to snatch any 60-year-old woman up out of a chair and throw her on the floor. Think about that. No spirit coming from heaven. When the Holy Spirit visited Mary, it did not snatch Mary up and throw her on the floor and Mary speaking gibberish. Right in the Bible, Mary conversed with the Spirit. Said, Hail Mary, thou art the chosen above the woman of the world. It spoke right to her that you should conceive of the Holy Spirit. Right?
Right.
Now, why is it in Mary's case, the Spirit didn't come in her chamber, and she fall on the floor, start foaming and kicking and go, humble, like they do? Why is it when in the Bible, when the angel, the Holy Spirit, came to Mary, he articulated, he was very clear, he spoke to her, he told her she was going to conceive of the Holy Spirit, and he left, and she was endowed with the Holy Spirit. Correct?
Correct.
Why is it when the Holy Spirit struck Jesus, when he was being baptized in the Jordan, why didn't Jesus fall down the water? It said Jesus rose up in a voice from heaven spoke and said, This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Correct? So when the Holy Spirit comes, he does not take the tambourine out your hand and throw it on the floor, flip you over on the ground, have you foaming, kicking out the mouth and going gibberish, 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 gibberish. That must be an unholy spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is going to come inside of you and make you feel good. The Holy Spirit is not so good because I've seen people in Central Park with a group of people sitting around playing bongos, get what people in church are calling the Holy Spirit, and ain't nothing to do with God. You ever been in Central Park and watch wine old people playing drums, and wine old goes out and starts acting fool and starts jumping around and kicking, acting crazy? Well, you can do that listening to the right James Brown record. People go to discotheques, and they be in these clubs from 10 o'clock to 4 in the morning, driven by the beat of this music, by the redundancy of this music. You ask, why do your kids spend the latter part of their life in discotheques and clubs? It's the beat, it's the rhythm, the consistency of the beat that gets you out your seat and makes you want to move. Same thing happens in Christian church. If they stop that gospel and put down them tambourines, and you don't hear about it happening to the boring Lutherans, do you? You go to a Lutheran church. The Lutheran church is the boringest church of all the churches. There's no singing, there's none of that. They have simple carols written by white folks with no soul, with no expression. Those people never get the Holy Spirit in the Lutheran church. So what is it? Only certain churches get the Holy Spirit. If the same Holy Spirit is coming down from the Christ who sits on the right-hand side of the Lord, only certain churches get the privilege? No. These people are playing games. Those people are being possessed by the unholy spirit that throws them on the ground and makes them foam out the mouth and speak in gibberish. So yes, the white man, as he's called, or the Jew for a more precise name of the devil, right? He is the one who sends out unholy spirits. What we're doing today, I'll get into the book of Revelation. And if you get into the book of Revelation 16:16, it tells you right there about, let's just turn to it for the time being. Revelation 16:16. It says, Behold, I come as a thief in the night. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Blessed is he that watches and keepeth his garment,
shall walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathereth them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon.
I took you too far down. We should start at 13. I jumped to Armageddon, but the point is Armageddon is a place in Israel today, in Palestine, which they call Haifa. All right? Which they're going to tell you this is where the beast is going to be at. But let's go to 13. And I saw three unclean spirits, like a frog, come out of the mouth of the dragon. This dragon they're talking about is in relation to the book of Revelation chapter 13, which maybe, inshallah, today I might deal with. The three beasts is described in detail. Right? And out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For what?
For they are the spirits of devils.
They're the spirits of the devil. Now it's going to go on from 14, 15, and 16 to take you right into the new state of Israel. Established over there in Haifa, how they pushed the saints out, which were the Muslims there, the peacemakers, Jesus would call them, and overtook the country and established a state, and in that spot, devilishment is raising. So there are beings on earth, as Jesus speaks of in the book of Revelation, chapter 16, that are driven by the spirit of the devil. And the spirit of the devil would be unholy spirits. Okay?
Why did our Creator let the 200 fallen angels descend to earth and then send Adam there?
Whenever we say why about our Creator, we have to take refuge in the Creator from our wicked selves, possibly. You understand what I'm saying? Whenever we start whying the Heavenly Father, it's very important that we say first, because the angels did that. They questioned. That's why they got cast down. It's important that we say, I seek protection in you from the wicked that might be speaking through me. Because we don't ask why the Heavenly Father, you don't ask why he gave you potatoes. You just enjoy them.
True.
But when it's something we don't understand, we want to know why he did it. Okay? Now, if you go back, it'll tell you why. It says, and it came to pass when men, this is human beings, began to multiply on the face of the earth. They were living on earth, not beneath it. And that's important because there were men living beneath it. On the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. They started having children. That the sons of Allah saw the daughters of man, that they were beautiful. And they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, watch it change. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. For what?
He is also flesh.
He. This is not they. We just was talking about sons of God, but now we stopped and said he, a certain spirit, is not going to always be there. This is why Jesus told the Christians in John that he was there in the beginning with God. Because this is a description right here in the book of Genesis chapter 6 of Jesus the Messiah, the spirit. He said, my spirit will not always side with man. How old will he be?
Yet his days shall be 120 years.
That's how old Jesus would be when he died. That's why when John saw him in the Bible, he saw him with white hair. That's why when Daniel saw him in his revelation, he saw him with white hair. And Jesus had white hair at the age of 33. He was a nervous wreck. But when they saw him in the book of Revelation, throughout the revelation where they keep describing the appearance of Jesus, they say he had hair like lamb's wool, as white as snow. They saw him in his old age, the way the Bible clearly puts it. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh. He's not just spirit, Jesus, but he's also a man. Jesus said that himself. He said, my spirit is willing, it's my flesh that is weak. He made it clear that he's a man. But now he said, yet his days shall be 120. Now he changes. First he speaks about his sons in the scripture, the righteous. The sons of God are the righteous angels. The sons of God, they say, came down and married women, which we refer to in the Bible in Revelation as the 24 elders who sit around the throne. All right, now he's going to go into unholy angels. And I said, there were giants in the earth in those days. Now we've been separated from man and from the good angels. There were giants in the earth in those days. What happened? And also after that, when the sons, after the giants were here, then the sons, when the sons of Allah came into the daughters of man, they bore children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. So they're saying that the first, there was these demons down here, or which referred to as cherubim, unholy angels, and then the Heavenly Father sent down when he was here? Wasn't he confronted with people that was possessed by demons also and casting out legions? So every place righteousness gathers, you're going to find Satan right there. If you don't believe me, read the books of Job chapter 1. When the elders came to go to heaven, the devil was right there with them. Every place you get a group of us together, one black person is sitting there representing the devil. Now y'all think about who it is. It could be anybody sitting in there. The devil sends him. That's his job. He represents the devil. He doesn't even know he's being used as a vessel for the devil. That's his job. He's always been that way. When Jesus gathered, well, who was there?
Devil.
Judas. And didn't it tell you that Judas was possessed by the devil? He had to be to persecute Christ, the Messiah. Okay. Number four. Again, and there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of Allah came in unto the daughters of men, that means had sex with them, because angels personified, and bore children to them, the same became mighty men, which were men of this, what we refer to as the 24 elders around the throne. Now, and what did it say, number five?
And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Man was awake, nothing but evil inside out. His thoughts and all have been perverted by the wickedness of the land of Nod, where the unholy angels took residence, where Cain went to visit. When he was cast out of the garden, and it said Cain was driven away, he went to the land of Nod. Well, if he went to the land of Nod and nobody was there, he would have been alone. But he went to the land of Nod, and he encountered a man named Lamech, who eventually took his life. Not Lamech, the father of Noah. A different Lamech, which is in Genesis. Go on.
And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth.
He was saddened because of what man had become.
And it grieved him at his heart.
And the Almighty was hurt because man that he had created in his image after his likeness has now taken on the image and the likeness of the beast, the devil, the dragon, that old serpent. And what do you see today people doing? Who are they emulating? Are they emulating the prophets of the scriptures of righteousness? Or are they emulating the devil and the beast in his ways? The harlot, and Babylon in her ways. We come along and tell you to dress like Christ says, and you call us fools. But you will go out and dress like the beast dressed. You'll live like the beast tells you to live. But if I tell you to put on the garb of righteousness like the Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 4, and many, many other places, it speaks about a pure white garment. I look like some type of fanatic who thinks he's in the desert. I am in the desert. I'm in the wilderness of North America. Go on.
And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
You see that? Now, this was all in Genesis chapter 6. Why they came down is in Genesis chapter 4 and 5. Genesis chapter 4 is going to tell you that the Almighty is going to give Cain a chance to repent. He's going to actually give him a chance to repent. But Cain is not going to listen. And he's still going to kill his mother. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bore his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Go ahead.
And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground on an offering unto the Lord.
Now, the book of Numbers 18:12 will back it up. You can look it up on your own time. But it says in the course of time, this was no instant thing. The day after they were born, they were cutting each other up. In due time, remember now, the devil was cast out of God with them. So in due time, it just happened. Number four.
And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock.
Now what Abel did is like they do in the traditional sacrifices of Israel. Didn't select the withered or the crippled or the deformed or the blemished or the spotted calf. They picked the firstling of their flock, the very best of their flock, to offer to the Lord at these sacrifices at the time. But not Cain. Go ahead, watch and see what happens.
And Abel, he brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering.
You see now, Numbers 18:17 and Leviticus 3:16, and of course Paul wrote about it his own way, and that's Hebrews 11:4 is going to talk about these sacrifices. We won't go there because it'll take too much time. But, they use here, for lacking. But, a negative connotation, but what? But unto Cain,
and to his offering, he had not respect.
Why? Because Cain did not present his very best. Abel presented his very best to the Lord. And I'm not talking about give me your very best in tithings and offerings. That's the devil at work. Soliciting funds, give me this, give me that. Give me this, give me that. That's the devil at work. You don't pay for salvation. But this is what they do. That has nothing to do with that. This is talking about the sacrifice to the Lord, the first offering to the Lord, to give him back for that which he has given us. Not to the church. Missionary. That's a big con. Go ahead.
And Cain was very wroth.
Cain was what?
And his countenance fell.
He was what?
Wroth.
They didn't particularly want black people to understand that word because we don't use words like wroth. They mean angry. He was very angry. What did he do?
And his countenance fell.
That's right. He let his countenance drop because he was mad. Because the Almighty accepted Abel's offering because Abel put his best in it and did not respect his. It didn't say he didn't accept it. It said he didn't respect it. You see the difference? So now, he's mad and he let his countenance drop. You know what countenance drop means? You ever get your child mad and watch it go sit in the corner and soak because you didn't say things the way they wanted? They sit down and they sit there and they poke. You call it pouting. That's letting your countenance drop. What happened?
And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth?
Now the Lord is speaking to him. And the Lord, in verse 6, said unto Cain, why are you mad? And why is thy countenance fallen? Why are you mad and why do you let yourself become so depressed about this? Proverbs 15:13 supports it. If thou dost well,
shalt thou
not be accepted? How merciful the Almighty is. He said, why are you depressed? Why are you mad? All you gotta do is go do the right thing and it'll be accepted. Go ahead.
And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door.
But if you don't put your best foot forward, believe me, sin will catch up with you. If you don't do your best before the Lord, you will become a sinner. If you don't do everything to serve the Lord his way, you will be a sinner. And the devil is waiting for you. Go ahead, he'll tell you that.
And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him.
The him here and his here is the devil, which is being called sin in that verse. It changed from sin to a person. The devil is sin. So if you sit around moping with your lips poked out because the white man is not giving you the job you want, then you develop into some black revolutionary, you're setting yourself up for self-destruction. When the only thing you could do is straighten yourself out inside. Work from the inside out. You understand? And they're going to do more things to stir you because blood is part of their game. It said the blood of the saints is on their hands in the books of Revelation. You are the saints. You're the original seed of Abraham. They will do more devilish. And I feel cyber preachers going out, marching around with signs, expecting to get some reaction. You're not going to get no reaction. The only reaction you're going to get from them, it's more death, more black people. And that's because we didn't listen. When the teacher before me was here, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he told you people to organize for yourselves, but you couldn't listen. You went and followed some man who made you subhuman. What do I mean subhuman? I mean asking for things from the United Nations that you was already entitled to by the Constitution, like civil rights. The Constitution already gives you civil rights as an American citizen. So to ask for something from the government that you're already entitled to is to say that you're not really under the umbrella of the Constitution. Like I said before, don't take me from the back of the bus to the front of the bus. Give me my own bus company. Then I'll begin to understand freedom. You understand? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him.
You see that? After the Almighty
to Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?
The first lie of a human being. See, the first lie of the devil is when he said, Did God say that you eat thereof? That if you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened? For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God. So go ahead and do it. The first lie was the devil calling God a liar. The second lie is a human being. So the negative energy you see has transposed itself from the devil now into a human being. The first human being to tell a lie, look who he's lying to. Go ahead.
And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground.
Spirit is in the blood. The Almighty said, I know he's dead, because I hear his spirit calling to me. Go ahead.
And now art thou cursed from the earth.
Now you have a curse, Cain. This ain't no white man, you know. This is you. This is us.
Which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day and from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me.
And the Lord said
unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold.
Who is the Lord talking to? Some people say Cain. He said, And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, talking to the devil, Therefore, whoever slayeth Cain, you see, what?
With
vengeance shall
taken on him sevenfold.
Sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any whom findeth him should kill him. Go ahead. And then what did Cain do now that he's being put out of the garden, which is in Eden? He's being put out of the Arabia area. Where is he going? And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. That was a holy land. That's why they call it the holy land, because the Lord's shadow's on it. And dwelt in the land of
Nod,
on the
east of Eden.
He went further up towards Turkey and Assyria, out of Arabian Peninsula where the garden was. But there's people here. Now, we're talking about Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, according to your Bible. Who were these people that he met here? Where did they come from? Were there people on earth before Adam and Eve? Not according to your Bible's sake. So who are these people, I ask the Christian preachers and the rabbis? It's in the Bible, but everybody jumps around and jumps over it like it don't exist. You understand? It told you in 6 who they were. What did it say? That there were giants in the
earth
in those days. And these giants were called Jebarians, or Nephilims as they call them, who came down from heaven when they were cast out, as it mentions in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. These were the devil's seed. And they came down to earth. These are the fallen angels who were sent down to earth like Revelation said they would be. And they were here before Allah brought down the 24 elders. That's your fallen angels, your cherubim, who came down on earth and lived and set up a land called Nod, which means wilderness in Hebrew. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. The reason why I read this, because the land is Nod, it was named Nod for a reason. And the next 2 verses will show you why it was named Nod. Alright, 17 of Genesis 4. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, and bore Enoch. And this is not Enoch Idris on the other side of Seth's family. There's another Enoch. And he built a city, and did what?
Called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch.
So therefore, the name Nod had to have come from one of the names of the fallen angels. So it was multiplying there. It was a city. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mahujala. And Mahujala, he begot Methusala. And they read it in English like it's here, Methusael. Alright? And Mehujael begot, Methusael. All right, that's the biblical Greek interpretation. And Methusael begot a man named Lamech. This Lamech is not Lamech, I must repeat, nor father. This is a different one. But make note that Cain's children are being named the same as Seth's descendants, a trick of the devil to try to mess up the records of the scriptures. But it didn't work, because as you read on, you find out that Lamech took two wives, and eventually Lamech is the one who killed Seth and says that he got sevenfold curse for doing it. And that ends chapter 4, and then by the time you go into chapter 5, it speaks of the generation, the family of Adam in the day that the Lord created him in the likeness of the Lord, and he made him. And male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day that they were created. Well, both of them were in Adam, so they both were called Adam when they were created. But then woman came out of Adam later. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And then it'll go on to tell you about the seed of Seth. And they'll use the same name, Enos, Canaan, Canaan, Methuselah, Methuselah. It'll go straight on down. Then we get into Genesis chapter 6, of which I told you. So the answer to the question is, because of man's wickedness and involvement with the negative angels. And the negative angels, it wasn't, why did the Almighty send them down? They were cast out of heaven on their own. Get ye all of you down from here, the Quran says. They wasn't sent here to tempt man. They were cast out because they had waged war in the heaven. You follow that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. My thoughts were directed in the sense that into every organization or religious body that someone may venture into, there is a search and a need for something that you haven't been able to find in any previous organization. And I am wondering, what am I looking for in an organization like this? What type of security is available to me? And I don't mean only physical or material security, but my spiritual security as to where am I going? What am I guaranteed in the future? What are we guaranteed by attaining this information and this knowledge? What can I do with it?
First of all, it's not what you will get, it's what you will earn. The problem with human beings on earth today is everything has been given to them. And way back in Genesis, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed you in the garden and gave you everything and told you not to touch one thing, you made it your business to go directly to that one thing and disobey the Heavenly Father. So since that fall from grace in the garden, man is no longer, does not have access to the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said you must work by the sweat of the brow. Now the Holy Quran in the 103rd chapter tells us why Islam is important for us. It starts off by saying, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and it starts, Wal Asr. The word Asr is the Arabic word for Asir, for juice, to squeeze the juice out of something. They say time in many translations, but the word Asir means to squeeze the juice. And this is saying, Wal Asr. And they're basing it upon a period of time when you, the physical you, and you, the spiritual you, will be separated from each other. Okay? And he says what? Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Inna means surely al-insana. All you forgetful beings. The word insan is written up as human being or man, but the word insan means forgetful. And surely all of you forgetful beings, lafi khusr, are in a great loss. You are losing this battle against time. So it says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, wal asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Then it tells you an exception. It goes, illa alladhina amanu. Except for those of you, amanu, who have iman, faith. They put their faith in Allah. It says, illa alladhina amanu. And then it tells them what else they do. Wa amilu salihat. The word amala in Arabic means to work, physical labor. Many scholars say that it means to do things. The word for do in Arabic is fa'ala. That's the same kind of verb to do. The word for to work in Arabic is amal. So here it says, wa amilu salihan. The word salaha means to fix something that has been broken. Salaha. Sad lam ha. Something that has been broken has to be fixed. And here it tells us that except for those who are faithful, who have the faith needed, and what do? They work, they labor to perfect themselves, to fix themselves, because you are broken when you fell from grace. You were in tune with the Almighty. It says in the beginning of Genesis, he walked and talked with Idris, he walked and talked with this one, he walked and talked with this one, and now you're forced to pray. You no longer can walk and talk with the Almighty. You have to pray and hope that he hears your prayer. But there was a time before man fell from grace that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to walk and talk directly with him, you see? But they forfeited this right by listening to the devil. Now man has to earn his way back. So it says, well, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَا فِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except for those who work, who are faithful, and who work to perfect themselves, to correct themselves. What else do they do? وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. And they turn people towards al-haq, back beyond any doubt, as people call it, the truth. The word saddaq in Arabic means truth. The word haq means back beyond any doubt. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And they turn people to be patient. They tell you two very things. This is what they work. First, they work to perfect themselves. They get themselves corrected, or they say for righteousness in many translations. And then the next thing they do is they turn their attention on others and try to make these people have nothing but the facts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and patience that's going to be needed to endure to the end. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wal 'asr. Innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa 'amilu salihat wa tawasaw bil haqq wa tawasaw bis sabr. This is that short section in the Quran. That three verses, and it's the essence of your question. What is in it for you? Jannah. You can get back into that garden that you was originally created in if you learn discipline, which is patience, live the truthful way, and you to correct the mistakes about our nature that has been introduced to us by the devil, who took us off of the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and has put us on his path. You follow? The pension plan in al-Islam is to retire without a watch. You see, the white man is a shrewd devil. When people retire in the Western world, he gives them a watch so they can watch the rest of the days of their life pass on to death. In al-Islam, the pension plan is that you retire, and if you was obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will make Jannah, paradise. You follow? The realities of paradise start from within, not out. Because many people say, how do I know there's a paradise? You know there's a paradise when you see a baby born. And the joy that comes over you with the beauty in a newborn baby, you can feel the gratitude, you can feel a total bliss take over your body. These are the first stages on the physical plane that leads to the spiritual plane of paradise. So it's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you, it's what you have to give back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of what He had given us in the garden and how we were disobedient.
Okay, but my question how do I arrive at this decision or understanding to first accept or to, I'm not afraid to work. And I like doing things. I like things done. And I know the only way by getting something done is by doing it, not by talking about it or holding meetings about it. And too often I find that with a lot of black organizations, because they were permitted to go to your colleges and universities, became so highly intellectual that they intellectualize everything rather than perform work. I am not a part of the organizations like this.
The sad thing about that is in order for you to be able to judge if a person has the truth or not, you have to have a certain amount of knowledge to ask the right questions. That's the problem. People start off without a certain amount of knowledge and they ask questions and expect the answers to come to them by their emotions. In order for a person to really get satisfied with the facts or the truth of the scriptures, they got to first have a certain amount of knowledge of the scriptures. Because I can bring up incidents to verify who you are, why you're here, what you're doing here, if you've never studied the scriptures properly. I don't mean have read the Bible according to what King James said, or I mean an in-depth study of who you are. Then there's no way a person you're coming as a skeptic, not intentionally, because you don't have enough knowledge to come as a student to ask constructive questions. So what people do is they come and say, make me understand. And a person can't make you understand until you have the knowledge to ask the right questions. Thus, we have put out a series and series and series of pamphlets for years to say, read, study, because the first word that was said to Rasulullah Muhammad was Iqra, read. That's the first thing they said to him, and that's our confirmation in Islam that we should always do everything under that word, read. We must read first. And once you start to study, then you'll be able to ask good questions. But, or I can sit back and say, well, ask me the questions that confuses you, and I'll do my best to answer them. But if you don't have a certain amount of knowledge, it's going to take a long time. Because first I'll have to teach you about the question, and then teach you the answer. So it does take time. And we don't classify ourselves just another organization. You know, there are a lot of black organizations, like you said, and I agree with you, they have a lot of meetings and get nothing done. No one can ever say that Jamaat Ansarullah doesn't get things done. Anybody who looks at the growth of our community, which is all black, can see us growing in the name of Allah. We're opening new communities constantly. We're progressing in every walk of life that you can think of. For our children's education, right? The language we imported, teachers from overseas to teach them. We have our own farm. We have our own, everything is set up for us in the name of Allah. Because in the interview, it says, if you take up one step in his direction, he'll take the other 10 towards you. So no one can say we're not doers. We're not like the other Orthodox Muslims or a lot of groups that sit around and talk about what they're going to get done. It's obvious by where you're standing in this neighborhood that you walk through. And we have this in Philadelphia and Chicago and Detroit and Jamaica and in London and in Trinidad. It's obvious that the Ansar of our community are not talkers. We're doers. It's very obvious. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I appreciate the type of personality that you have that says, I'm a person who wants to do. A lot of people in here who don't want to do. They just, you know how black people are. They want to come in and sit around and wait for the clouds to open for them. And that's not the way. We have to go out and provide for our children and our women. That is our duty as men. And I'm a workaholic myself. So I can understand how you feel. I have to be doing something for the nation. Otherwise, I get sick mentally. You see?
Thank you.
A pleasure.
Next question? Okay. I wanted to know, are you the lamb?
All ye are lambs. That's what Jesus said. As many as believe on him, to them he gives power to become the sons of God. All of you are lambs laid before slaughter. He said that. If your question is, am I the lamb, the only lamb? There is no only lamb. That's the trick that Christians use. Lamb is used throughout the Bible. So, you follow? What is represented in here by me is Revelation chapter 14, 6. I saw another angel fly in the midst of the heavens, having an everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue of people, saying with a loud voice, fear Allah, and give glory to him. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmani Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'een, Ahdina Sirat Al-Mustaqeem, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. I mean, that may sound like gibberish to you, but that's the first verse of the new song. And your children will be able to sing it. Not you. You come in here and learn your Arabic and mosey your way through it. But the children are the ones. They're not defiled of the harlot like that brother pointed out. They have not lived deliciously in her. They have not drunk with the wrath of the fornication of the harlot. They have not given up their virginity. He's right. They're the seed. I'm going to tell you why it's the female seed to make it clear. So we'll understand what we're talking about. Mary's mother, Hannah, or Anna, was chosen. And she gave birth to Mary, who was raised by Zachariah, who gave birth to Christ. You see that? Now, Anna or Hannah was not a very special pious woman, just the wife of Imran, just a regular woman, Mary's mother, in Israel. And they were living in sin in the time of before Jesus in Israel. So they were living under Roman law like today. So he took a normal woman just like you, and he let you give birth to Mary.
Huh?
You follow? And when Mary was born, they were saying, but this is a woman child. How could she be the Savior? It says, because this woman, you, was supposed to give birth to Mary,
and Mary will be raised in purity so that she can give birth to an angel. And that angel was the Messiah Jesus. You see? So you are the first begotten of the dead. You must be raised first. Then you will give birth to children who will be raised in righteousness. And then they will give birth to the angelic beings who will war against Satan. You can't do it while you are still defiled by the harlot. You won't give birth to them yourself. You understand that? You cannot give birth to the righteous. You must give birth to the children that will give birth to the righteous, the same way Imran and Hannah gave birth to Mary. And Mary gave birth to the Messiah. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Our children are the saviors. It says the young will see the vision and the old will be dreaming dreams. So you're the Lamb also. I thank you for the privilege, but the responsibility is greater than I could bear.
Did the angel Gabriel was a man or was he a spirit? That I had listened to one of your tapes and you had said that the angel had to bring Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, a written scripture. So I was wondering if the angel Gabriel, how did the revelation come to me?
Turn to Daniel chapter 8. This might help, you know, explain what you're saying. Verse 15. It's when Daniel is getting a vision. And don't forget, when the angel appeared to Moses again, he saw him as a burning bush, again as light. All right? And Allah is called in the Quran, the Nur of Samawati wal Ard, the light of the heavens and the earth. This is Daniel 8.
All right, 15th verse?
Yes, 15th verse.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And it came to pass, when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then, behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man.
Go ahead.
And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulay, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face.
Now this is another prophet in the Torah named Daniel, who's having the exact same experience that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. That he saw, first he got a vision, and then the vision manifested as an angel in the form of a man, and then a voice from heaven told that angel to go and give Daniel a certain amount of insight, and he did. So the same story exactly that happened to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while in the cave is happening again in the book of Daniel. In case people of the scriptures try to deny its authenticity, it's not something new. It happened before, the exact same way. Okay? Read it again so people can understand.
And it came to pass, when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then, behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulay, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision.
Now, as he was speaking with me,
I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright.
So therefore this angel also touched him, so he proved that he had a physical being. He had went into a coma for the vision, but then the angel touched Daniel physically and made him sit up. You follow? So therefore this angel started off a vision, personified as a man, took Daniel into a dream state, and then brought Daniel back into the physical. Go ahead again.
From the beginning or continue?
No, just from that, continue on.
And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. But the time appointed, the end shall be.
So now he told Daniel that he was going to give him knowledge of the prophecy of the end of the world.
When the unholy angels was first thrown out of heaven and they went to the land of Nod, they took the form of men and women and black men and women. Am I correct?
Yes, they came down in the form of human beings.
Black.
That's right.
So why was it necessary when they left during the flood, why was it necessary for them to come back down into the bodies of Caucasians when they could have just took on the form of black men all over again?
Because Allah put a curse on them, and that curse they referred to in the Bible as that old leprosy. Allah wanted us to know the devil. Our biggest problem is not coming from white people. Our biggest problem is coming from black people who come in the disguise of white people, who pretend they're with us. They call them wolves in sheep clothing. They'll put on a white jalabiyah and stuff and really be a Sunni Muslim or an enemy and pretend they're an Ansar and come amongst us. You follow that?
Yes.
And then they'll start throwing out fits of fire. He made the devil manifest in the flesh. He put a mark on him like he told Cain, I'm going to mark your seed. Don't forget, the devil is a part of Cain's seed. Though Cain himself, not Cannon, though Cain himself had nothing to do with the devil, Allah put a mark on him that meant when they see you, they will know you. And Cain said, but when they see me, they're going to kill me. And Allah says, I'll protect you so that they won't kill you. You follow that? And the white man roams the whole world, a raving beast, a devil, disrupting people's cultures, raping their women, pulling down society, destroying their books, spreading this false teaching of Christianity, and then destroying a culture. People still let the devil in, though they can look at him and see what he did in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They see what he's doing in South Africa. They see what he did in Vietnam. They see what he's doing right now in South America, Puerto Rico. They see how he's getting ready to mess with the people throughout the Caribbean, what he did in Grenada. They see this, but still you walk down the street, walk up to a white person, and act like they're not a devil. That's because way back in Genesis, the Almighty said, though they have a mark on him, man won't dare touch you. Because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It's not in my and your power to remove the devil. It's to restrain him to raise our people. And that we can't do because the devil vowed that he would make our people love him. Because he would make evil fear seeming. He'll make what is evil look like fun. You follow what I'm saying? And that's the recreation of this world, the devilishment of this world. But our biggest fear, I repeat again, is not a white man in white skin that Allah made apparent. Our biggest fear are black people who really come in the name of the devil and call themselves Muslims, say they're Israelites or Hebrews, and I'm going to go down there and I'm going to trap them.
Right.
For the white man. Or they catch you and they come up to you and pretend like they're an Ansar, and their whole intention is just to try to trap you. And they don't realize that they become a devil. Like I explained in last week's class, good angels can become bad angels. And that's a sign because Iblis was amongst the good angels and fell from grace. So a lot of black people become the devil in their pursuit of trying to be heavy and trying to be impressive. Because that's what happened in Genesis. What did they promise that the devil was? Because what they said, because Allah does know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open and you shall be as God. So black people are suffering from a complex of wanting to be heavy. And sometimes in the process of trying to be heavy, they curse their own leaders. They verse the people sent to them, and the devil senses that and seizes their hearts and turns them into opposers of the truth in a subtle kind of way while they pretend they're pursuing the truth. What they're really doing is pursuing false in the truth, which they cannot find, because the devil has been trying to find false in the scriptures since the beginning of time. They'll never find the fault in the scriptures. They can find fault in Imam Isa. They can find fault in the word Ansar. They can find a misspelled word in the book. But they will not find fault in the teachings, because the teachings are truth. And everybody came out. And those dwindled little half-wit is going to come along in the latter day after 20 years of service in the way of Allah. We watch the nation of Islam rise and fall. We watch the black Israelites rise and fall. We watch the Hebrew nation rise and fall. We watch the black Panthers, their young lords. We watch them all rise and fall. We watch all the African culture rise and fall. And the Nubian Islamic Hebrew mission was there all the time. And people said, I remember those tablets. I remember those brothers soldiers. And everybody said the same thing. They'll never make it. They'll never make it. We didn't have to make it. We was already made since Father Abraham. It wasn't about us making it. That was their problem. They were trying to see whether or not the Ansar Allah community would develop into something. We didn't have to develop into something. We always was something. We were the truth. Incarnated in human form. And whenever a Sunni Muslim came up on one of us, he got to the point where he knew there was no combat an Ansar. It took years for us to get to this point. We have no conflict with anybody now. Nobody tries to verse our doctrine, whether it's a devil or the devil in the disguise of a Sunni Muslim or Ahmadiyya. And now we're spending time and we're getting ready to shake the Arab world. That's why we're getting to put our pamphlets in Arabic, because we're getting ready to shake them too. No one can stand against the words of Allah. And nothing is more powerful than the gift that Allah gave y'all in the West under the name of Nubian Islamic Hebrew.
We will continue with the man of the hour, Dr. Malachi Z. York, the reformer for this day and time, right after these messages.
All Eyes on Egypt presents the Holy Tablet, backed by popular demand, written and transcribed by Dr. Malachi Zodok York L., the receiver. This is the scripture that is divinely inspired that will bring about a long overdue change. Like the phoenix bird rising up out of its ashes. Up, you mighty people, come forth like Lazarus from the tomb. This tablet is food to feed the hunger and to nourish the soul, to give it strength. Rise up, stand up, be counted amongst the people of this world. Be the first to get your copy of the Holy Tablets while supplies last. And all eyes on Egypt, Monticello, Georgia. 706-468-2319. Tune in to the El Holy Tablet Show every Friday and Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAD Radio.
Look at the air. Look at the
people always debated, who's the greatest player of all time? Dumb question. It should be, who's the greatest team of all time?
WGAG Radio.
Sorry, Showtime.
WGAG Radio.
Back to back.
WGAG Radio.
First three-peat.
WGAG Radio.
Even with the flu.
WGAG Radio.
No push-off.
WGAG Radio.
And my favorite. Tough to beat that. What? You think there's someone else? Prove it.
Look at the air. Look at the hand.
Now welcome back to the man of the hour.
White people, in a way, are like a race of fallen angels.
Yes. From the beginning of time. You read the book of Revelation where you speak about the angels coming down, and in Genesis 6, the angels coming down, and even in Job where the angels went back up and Satan was with them. Lucifer, as is known, the morning star by some people, the bright morning star, because Jesus is also called a morning star because they all were angelic beings incarnate. Yes, the white race today is nothing but the devil incarnate in flesh, and Jesus pointed it out in the book of Revelation when he said, I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not. They are the synagogues of Satan. When they use the word synagogue in the scriptures, they use mejmah, which means a congregation or gathering of Satan. He's saying that these people who are calling themselves Jews, because in his time there were many people, he said, would come in his name. Those who call themselves Israelites, saying they were of the tribe of Judah, but in reality they were Shaitan or Satan incarnate in the flesh. And the result of that, the manifestation in their physical body, is the curse of leprosy or leproma. Yes, the white race is the devil in the flesh, the falling angels who fell from grace that are in earth to torment us. And when Jesus came to earth, he came to warn us of that. He kept trying to tell us about them. He said, you are of your father, the devil. He kept pointing at these so-called Jews and said to them, you are of your father, the devil. The why you don't want to eat of me and drink of me is because you are of your father, the devil. You prefer to worship the devil. You follow, even when Jesus healed people, he would tell them, now that you are healed or clean, don't sin again. The first man do that he healed, he went right to the Jews and told them that he was healed on the Sabbath day. The Jews say, who healed you? He said, I don't know the man's name. Correct? Then Jesus later on seen him. This is in the book of St. John. Then Jesus later on seen him in town, and he asked Jesus' name. And as soon as Jesus told him, he went back and told the Jews, the man's name is Jesus. So then they set out to kill him because he healed on the Sabbath and made himself out to be the Son of God. You see, so that's exactly what they do. They sit with you, talk to you. You will help them. You black people will work for them, assist them, and then they'll turn you over to deliver you into the hands of their father, the devil. And the Quran backs it up over and over again. But the answer to your question is yes, the white race is the devil in the flesh. In the books of Genesis, they say he has a seed. He put this iniquity between a woman's seed and the serpent's seed. Nesala is the language they use in the scripture. And Nesala means to conceive a seed, a human blood, like a child is given birth by a mother and father. That's the selection that they use in the scriptures. Okay?
Okay, at the same time that he's on earth in physical form, are there invisible demons?
Yes, Jesus also told us about legions of demons that get inside people. These people who call themselves Pentecostals are really people of light, the pentagram. The pentagram, now make note of this, Billy a goat, Graham, Pentecostal, pentagram, five-pointed star, though they attributed to a certain event in Judaic history, they're really talking about satanic worship, and the Holy Spirit that they say these people are getting is not a Holy Spirit, but as Jesus called in Revelation, an unclean spirit, a Holy Spirit would never snatch an old woman out of a seat and throw her on the floor and have her foaming from the mouth and kicking. This is not what a Holy Spirit would do, because Jesus calls the Comforter a Holy Spirit. If they refer to their own dictionary under what the word comfort means, they'll find out that the people who they say are getting comforted in the gospel or Pentecostal churches are not acting like people at all that are being comforted, but rather someone who's in a state of discomfort when they start kicking and foaming and falling on the floor and running off in gibberish. Jesus tried to warn us, the Messiah tried to warn us, that the world is plagued with every unclean and foul bird, he says in Matthew 24 and in Revelation. Every unclean and foul bird. Yes, we have demons surging around and getting into us, possessing our people, and they think that they're saved. You follow that? And they're really possessed of unclean spirits. Yes, they he works in more than one way. His biggest instrument is television, advertisement, commercials, music, the publicity. That is the devil's biggest trip, because all of us in some way or other get caught on that. And it's very difficult to break away from it and be in tune with what's taking place in the society. So he knows he has us trapped. Go ahead.
Are you Melchizedek?
Yes, I am.
You are the angel Michael.
Yes, I am.
I spoke with an angel today. So what?
All of you are angels who have fallen from grace. Remember, and we are only sent to testify unto you about the coming of the Messiah. And those who listen and accept him into their lives, they will be transformed back into an angelic state again. All of you are angels, and all of you are sons of God who have fallen from grace. Our job is merely to prepare you, to dress you up like a bride, and prepare you for a groom for the great wedding, what they call Crystal City, will descend out of heaven in New Jerusalem, and you will enter back in the presence of the Heavenly Father, and therein cry no more, suffer no more, feel no more hunger. All the attributes that the devil has subject you to on earth will be removed from you when you enter back into the sacred city. All of you are angels. So when you say I'm speaking to an angel, so am I. This happened to John when tutoring him through the books of Revelations, and he decided to fall and prostrate and was told, get up, because I am your fellow servant. You understand?
Yes. In Islam, is there a marriage ceremony, or are people just married if they are...
No, there's a very strict marriage ceremony in Islam, the nikah. The actual dowry has to be paid. There has to be contracts drawn up. There has to be family meetings and discussions for genetics. It gets very intense, because in Islam, we don't marry just because a person is pretty. We marry by genetics as well. We make sure there's no disease in the father's blood. If my daughter is to marry, I want to make sure that there's no disease in the father's blood or his grandfather's blood, so we inherit it. And this may sound bad, but you keep your bloodline pure by knowing who your children marry. And that's very, very, very important for you women, is not to marry dumb men because they're cute. Right. You better start thinking about what you marry, because what you marry will determine what the intellect of your children are. It is time for us to start breeding mentally. We have stopped breeding mentally. We started breeding physically. People say, he has curly hair or light eyes or light skin, so I'm going to have a baby by him because I have light skin, curly hair kids. Those days are over. It is now time for you people to start breeding mentally, because the higher the mental capacity, the easier it is for extraterrestrials to communicate with you. People on a low mental capacity, it's very difficult to penetrate that block, that ignorance. But people who are more sensitive spiritually, because they were bred properly, it makes it easier when extraterrestrials are trying to communicate.
Okay, in Islam, is a woman, okay, you said that we were all angels fallen from grace. Okay, has an angel ever appeared in the form of a woman?
No, an angel has never been summoned to come to earth. And the reason why I say that, because this is not the only planet with life on it in the boundless universe. There are female angelic beings who do go to other galaxies, because there are other galaxies where female beings dominate to keep the universe balanced. Man is a gender, not a god. He likes to dream himself into godhood. He's merely a gender, not a god. And in the eyes of the Most High, there is no gender when you look on the planet Earth. He sees you all as his children. No female angelic being has been incarnate on the planet Earth. However, there are female angelic beings that do go to other galaxies. And those of you who perfect themselves and make the transition from a mortal into a supernatural being or back into an angelic state and will get the opportunity to travel into other galaxies, you will be amazed. Because once you make the transition, remember, the first thing you inherit at the day of resurrection is life eternal. The same thing that the devil promised you in the beginning, that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as God. He knew what he was talking about. He was deceiving us in one way because he was trying to make us violate the commandments of the Most High. But on the other hand, as an angel, he knew what he was talking about. You see? And the day will come that those people who recognize the violation of the commandments of the Almighty by partaking of that forbidden fruit and reject the fruits of the devil and reject the things of the devil and take on the Messiahship. Because Messiahship or Christ is a nature that you all must succumb to. There's great masses or beings called Elohim in the beginning of Genesis. When they say in the beginning was the word, they use the word Elohim. Elohim is a Hebrew word which is Elo in a plural. These Elohim are what they refer to as the We or the Lord of Hosts, the angelic beings. They are overseeing. They come into your plane at different periods of time to interfere with what man is doing to try to coerce him. Those of you who accept the teachings into themselves will be transformed back into, again, angelic beings, and you will witness the heavens. You'll see angelic beings, and you'll travel other galaxies, those of you that can make that height.
So just because a female was made from man, she is not inferior to man, is she? But she is also from Allah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that very clear because he says that man was created from earth. And then he put man and woman over earth. Mm-hmm. You see? So how can man be superior to woman if woman came from man when man came from something less than both of them? Earth.
Right. So we both come from Allah.
Both come from Allah equal.
Equally.
Like the right and the left eye of the face.
With different purposes.
Definitely different purposes. Oh, yeah. Now, don't misinterpret, a man is greater than woman in that which he does, but so is a woman greater than man in that which she does.
Right.
Do you follow?
Yes, sir. I'm going to let someone else speak. Thank you.
Listen, you said we're angels, and we're also Nubian. So we have fallen from grace too, right?
I don't understand the question.
You don't understand the question?
No, I understand we are angels, and I understand we are Nubian. Maybe I'll do it this way. It says in Genesis that the Almighty created man of the dust of the ground and breathed into man the breath of life,
right,
and man became a living soul.
Right.
The Nubian part of you is the physical composition, the flesh.
Okay.
And the angelic part of you is the spirit. The combination of the spirit and the flesh gives birth to the soul.
I see. Okay. Another question. I heard one of your tapes, and it said on there that you have sons of Allah, and they don't know that they are sons of Allah.
You are a son of Allah.
Right.
And you're having a hard time understanding.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you what I mean. The light shineth in the darkness, yet the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from Allah whose name was John. You see that?
Yes.
Now, how did that happen? Take John the Baptist. When John the Baptist was questioned by the Jews, as they called him then, as to whether or not he was the Messiah, he said he wasn't. Correct?
Right.
They also asked him, was he that prophet? What did he say? He's not.
Uh-huh.
Then they asked him, was he Elijah? And what did he say? No. Later on, Jesus came along and told him, and told the disciples, that John the Baptist, Yohanna, was indeed the return of Elijah. Now here is a man who was a prophet called John the Baptist, called a prophet, receiving revelation and inspiration from the Almighty, and when questioned of whether or not he was John the Baptist, he said no. By the time it gets to Matthew 17, 10 through 13, he finds out through Jesus that he is. So the answer is, you can have a divine spirit moving in you and you not know it because you don't tune your body in. This is why human beings get sick. Human beings get sick because their body becomes untuned, just like an automobile. If your car is not properly tuned and the pistons and stuff are not functioning properly, the car will malfunction, correct?
Right.
Well, the human being also has a tuning process. He must stay in tune. Prayer, meditation, and the things that keeps the human body in tune. He plugs into the source. If he does not keep himself in tune with the spiritual world, he becomes sick physically. You understand?
Yes.
So that means that the spirit can be moving in man and man not be fully aware of it. All ye are sons of the Most High. Thusly, you all are angelic beings. When you break down the word angelic being, when you go to the English definition, to the Latin and Greek, you come out with the word messenger. When you go to the Arabic word, malaika, you come to one full of something, to be complete or full, mahl. You follow that?
Yes.
A complete being. When you are in your spiritual state, you were a complete being. When you became a mortal and slipped from grace, you became a broken being, incomplete. And then the Almighty said, you must perfect yourself or correct yourself. In the language of the scripture, this is called salihin. Those who correct or fix themselves or work for perfection and righteousness.
Yes.
You follow that?
Yes. I was also speaking on the ones that you call the vagabonds in one of your tapes.
Yes.
That you said you had to, that they belong to us.
Correct.
Right.
Uh-huh. We people can be vagabonds.
Right.
We can be an angel possessed. You can be a devil with demons plagguing you. You
right.
follow?
Yes.
And thus you can be a good angel or a good person and aspire to do even greater things.
Right.
Men who are called are angels whose light is increasing. Men who fall are angels whose lights are decreasing. Unfortunately for the world, the state it's in now, more angels' lights are decreasing, thus man is falling away from the light of the Most High on a more rapid pace than those beings who are evolving towards perfection, increasing in light and getting nearer to the Most High. So you are vagabonds, you are thieves, and you do all kind of treacherous things, but that doesn't mean that you're not an angel. It means you're an angel who fell from grace.
Right.
Don't make angels synonymous with good. Don't make angels synonymous with Michelangelo's picture on the ceiling. This was a trick. The reason why it was painted on the ceiling is so when you look up, you get in a state of awe. Because they've always depicted heaven as up. Heaven is not up, heaven is. Heaven is an expansion that is up, down, and around you. It's a state, not a place.
Right.
You understand?
Yes.
So they've always given you the impression that angelic beings are not human beings. Where angelic beings are beings who have evolved to such a state of perfection that they can, for instance, you can dress up like a baby. You won't be a baby. You can dress up like a baby and cry like a baby. As long as you have the intellect to be able to create the costume. Angelic beings are beings who've evolved past the stage of you as a baby and know how to create the human costume by leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to incarnate or come back down as human beings to communicate with you. They are not the white man's interpretation of beings who are little fat white kids with wings like birds flying around the heavens.
Yeah.
Angelic beings are intellect. They are beings who have perfected themselves from billions of different galaxies. And they look different depending on where they are, the different colors of their light, the different ways they vibrate. And when and if they're given leave by the Almighty to come down to earth, just like Jesus said in St. John, to come down to earth, he who came down can go back up. Not he who came out of the ground can go back up, but only he who came down can go back up. So there are people on earth whose name is not written in the book of life since the foundation of the world, because they are not spirits who came down. They were spirits who were created on earth, because it said the Spirit of the Lord was upon the face of the water before man even got here.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yes. What are angelic beings made up of?
It depends on the angelic being. Most angelic beings are what you would refer to in earth terms as energy. And that energy can be positive, negative, or clashing. You follow?
Yes.
And the reason why they associate angels with light is because light is prompted by energy.
Yes.
Without some fusing, there'll be no light of positive and negative energy charges.
Yes.
So it's all energy.
One of the Muslim brothers told me that I have, or we all have, 180 degrees of negative
energy on our left side and 180 degrees of positive energy on our right side.
That's called Meshach, willpower. All that means is that the Almighty gave you balanced will. And being 360 is considered total, and that's only because of the ancient Judaic calendar, which only had 360 days. And they said that was a total year, so they took that and made it synonymous with total 360. Then you cut that in half, and if you cut man down and speak about his will to do right and his will to do wrong, it would be balanced at 180 degrees. This is just figures so that you can understand them on the earth plane.
I don't understand.
You don't understand?
No.
If I took a circle and drew it and cut it in half, if the whole circle is 360 degrees, each half would be half of that, which would be 180. When you look at man, and you look at man's nature, and let's take the match and make the match synonymous with man's nature. We light a match. A match is an object. Once we strike it, we hold a fire. The power to strike it is in the will of the individual who holds it. Do you have it?
Yes.
Once you strike it, what you do with it will determine whether it goes towards bad or good. You can either burn a house down with it,
yeah,
or you can warm a baby. That is your will. So you have an equal balance from the point that the match is struck to go either 180 degrees towards warming a baby or 180 degrees towards burning down and destroying things. That is your desire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave man the gift. That's how we are like him, insofar as we're in his image and likeness, because we have 180 degrees of nature. We can die one way or the other. On the other hand, angelic beings, once they split, one side of 180 is referred to as seraphim, and the other side is referred to as cherubim. Together, they make up one body.
Yes.
You see that?
Yes.
Now, on earth, y'all have the same thing happening. One side of y'all are chosen to go good, which is your race, and you are like the seraphim, and the other side that incarnated is choosing to go bad, that's the white race, and they are the cherubim. So the same thing that happened amongst us before the creation of your world is now happening amongst you on earth. And angelic beings will incarnate to try to warn you of the path in which you take. And the Quran mentions it because the angels confronted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in heaven and asked him, is this man, Adam, you create, is he going to cause mischief and bloodshed? Meaning, are they going to evolve to the same thing that we did in Malakut in our realm? And Allah says, I know what you do not know. I have the knowledge of things you will never know. Yes, man was destined in order to, for him to pass the test that we failed. You follow?
Yes.
For him to pass the test, he must be confronted with the devil and do what? What did Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior to the world, say? What did he say you should do? He said when Satan tempted him,
stop living the ways of the devil.
What did he say? What did Jesus say? He
know.
Told Satan to do what? Not just you. Imagine anybody in the room. What did Jesus tell the Satan to do?
Get thee hence.
He said, get you hence. For it is written what? They shall serve the Lord thy God, and him alone shall ye serve. Man's problem is he wants to serve two masters. He wants to serve Jesus and his Father. He wants to serve money and success, and he wants to serve more than one master. And Jesus said, the Lord thy God is one God. You follow that?
Yes, I do.
So Satan's greatest trap is to seduce us into serving not just God and obeying his Son, but worshiping God and worshiping his Son. And though we think we're doing right, that's the ultimate wrong. In the devil's biggest trick is making evil look good.
Right.
So while we're worshiping Jesus, when we should be worshiping the Father who sent Jesus, yes, we think we're doing good and we're doing wrong. And the devil laughs. Another notch in the battle. If y'all think that y'all are not in a battle with the devil, you are. With every one of you people who sit in that room that say, I am about to be saved and born again. Born how? What did Nicodemus say? You mean go back into the womb of our mother? And Jesus looked at him like he was from another planet, because he knew that this man was a leader amongst the so-called Jews and was asking such a dumb question. That should be real frightening to a man who knows that the enemy is against him. It's the same thing as when you watch television, you hear a politician say something that's utterly real stupid, and you drop your head and say, this guy's got the power to push the button. This is how Jesus felt when talking to Nicodemus, when Nicodemus said, you mean go back into the womb of my mother? And you know what he said in his mind? And these are the kind of people that want to kill me with this kind of logic. You know, Jesus said, he said, let me make it clear. No, I want to give you the answer so you know what to tell them. You must be reborn of the Spirit. you must receive a Holy Ghost, which meant looking at them, he saw them endowed with an unholy ghost, an unholy spirit. He said, you need a Holy Spirit. You need to be pure again. You need to look upward. You need to be an ascending being again. You need to put yourself in tune with the Father who sent me, the one who sent me, he kept saying. But what do people want to do? It's so easy to grab on to the hem of Jesus and hold him and ignore the Father. Those people will go to hell. Because Jesus will tell them, I never knew you. They're going to say, but we cast out demons and healed and stuff in your name. And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. Because he never told nobody to do anything in his name. He said, our Father, who art in where?
In heaven.
Hallowed be what?
My name.
Whose name? Jesus is the Father.
Allah, our Father.
Then he said, thy what?
Kingdom come.
Your kingdom come. Your
will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven. So he told everybody that the Heavenly Father is the one. And the last verse says, forever and ever. Amen. How long is forever and ever?
Eternal.
He said, this is forever and ever. Amen. Not that it will change. Not that it will alter and you should worship me later and beseech me to help you. He said, I of my own can do nothing. Because I am not greater than he who sent me. But people want to worship what they can hold. Because then they feel they can destroy it when they're tired of it.
Yes.
It's so much simpler to be able to hold God by hand. And then when he doesn't fit up to your standards, let his hand go and turn your back on him. We don't worship a God that any mortal can turn his back on. We worship a God that wherever you turn, there he is.
Yes.
You can't hide from him. It's simple to place him, pinpoint him, and label him. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes. I brought that up to 180 degrees on each side because last Saturday when I woke up, right before I opened my eyes, I was already up, but right before I opened my eyes, on my right side, I had felt something touch me. And I know this sounds crazy, but I was kind of curious as to what it was. And that's when I brought it to one of the brothers.
It's not crazy at all.
Okay.
It's just your guardian angel.
It happens.
Every person in that room has been assigned guardian angels.
Yes.
And recording angels.
Yes.
Angelic beings are the messengers of the Most High, and they are recording all of your deeds.
Yes.
Every second of the day. You cannot hide in the middle of the desert under a rock painted over sand color because they're
right.
Standing right next to you.
Right.
What the brothers say? You can't hide
can't
from
hide.
Yourself. No
right.
Matter where you go,
you're right there.
There you are.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I was on the beach with my lady friend one night last summer, and I looked up at the North Star, and I saw it wasn't a plane because a plane doesn't move like, you know, like this, you know, and like it dipped to the North Star, it ran away, and then it went right back to it and then jetted off. I was wondering if you could explain that.
I can't explain your sighting, but I can explain that there are many extraterrestrials visiting from
yes.
Different galaxies constantly. They're always here. They use clouds mostly as a cover. They're here at all times.
Yes.
Go ahead.
What does the North Star have to do with it?
The North Star is a measuring point for your galaxy. The same way your seamen, when they didn't have maps, would use the North Star
right.
to find their direction,
right.
extraterrestrials use the brightest star in your galaxy as a measuring point to know their north, south, east, and west one here for logging.
Understood. And what about the Bermuda Triangle? Because when you take
the Bermuda Triangle is a magnetic force field that goes as deep down pyramid-wise as it does up. Most of the extraterrestrials that come from this side of the black hole, their machines...
What do you mean the black hole?
Well, let me finish one thought at a time. They're smarter than me. Let me move slow. Oh,
okay, sorry.
So their Sabat Sa'ira, or their ships, right, run off electricity, as you know, electrical energy. So they pull over the Bermuda Triangle and certain other pyramids in order to recharge themselves. American ships or earthborn craft who run off fuel, they're still in the Piscean air, the water air. They haven't transformed to the Aquarian age, which is the era of electrical energies. They're still driving their ships off fuel and driving their cars off fuel, but they all will catch up soon enough.
Uh-huh.
These men drive these ships through these force fields and get snatched into other dimensions. Or crushed down into nothing. It's nothing but electrical
like
energy. That's exactly what happens. What is the next question?
black hole? A black hole?
What is a black hole? A black hole is a warp in space.
A what? A warp?
A warp, like a bump in space.
Like a bump.
Uh-huh. Yeah, black holes are created when two galaxies touch rims. If you had two round objects, and if the brother draws two round objects, two round circles, one above each other on the board, where the two rims touch, that point, you see that point? All right, see the point where the two circles touch?
Yes.
If you move from that point outward, you'd have a black hole. The point that would travel in between those two. Now the problem is, if those galaxies are moving in different directions, you follow that?
Yes.
The currents change. So as a person travels in them, they could be transformed into another whole dimension, a fourth or fifth dimension. You follow? And you can get from one end to a black hole, which could take you a billion years of your time. You'd get so snatched up in time that you'd pass the speed of light, and you'd be transformed backwards in time, and you'd be able to travel 100,000 years in about a minute.
Uh-huh.
So extraterrestrials that come here, they're coming from long distances. The reason why they're able to intergalactically travel and not age is because, like when Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus, and they were coming, because they were taken up in a cloud, which is a ship, they had traveled through the galaxies past the speed of light. So when Moses arrived to Malachut, he was the same age as when Joshua and him left him on Mount Horus. And when he comes back through, he'll come looking the same. When people see, when they say, I've seen Mary, Jesus' mother in the image, they always see her at the age in which she left.
So it was like he never left.
Well, because the point of death and acceptance, what do you gain?
Say that again.
The point of death, and you have already bore testimony to the truth, what do you inherit? Eternal life.
Right.
You see that? And each being that dies of old age will return to the age of perfection.
But right before I went to sleep, my whole body got numb. And everything, you know, I tried to, you know, call for help. I tried to call mom, but I couldn't even get the word out. And I couldn't move any part of my body. And then everything got real dark. And then I heard, like, these children playing, you know. And then it stopped, and I saw this real bright yellow light. And then I didn't really want to go back to sleep after that.
Like John.
Like
the,
John.
Like John of the book of Revelation, the voices you heard was the voices of the angels in heaven. Like he said, I heard the voices coming out of the throne, and a great light. That's the mothership. You just happened to be out of your body for a split second. This can happen. Now you have to learn to perfect it for proper traveling, because you can get out and get trapped outside your body by accident.
Right, that's why I was kind of, I thought, you know, it was my time to go, and I was like, what now? You know, I was like, oh, this is pretty weak. I couldn't even, you know, tell
you have a system. You have a system created in you that protects you. It produces a hormone called adrenaline.
Right.
And this adrenaline has the power to re-personify you. When man gets scared, his brain triggers a certain thing, and a hormone releases a thing in your body called adrenaline.
Right.
This adrenaline personifies mortals. It'll bring you back out of comas. It'll chase dogs from you. It can give you the power to lift a car. This is a divine essence that the Almighty has placed in each man. Don't feel strange about strange things, because we're in strange times.
Right. Understood.
And the devil is performing all types of signs and wonders alone. He has his own things he's doing, making fire come down out of the sky and different things that back in John's time would have been unbelievable to see planes flying and shooting beams of fire from the sky. You follow? So you're living in such a strange world. It's going to get stranger, because everything the devil lets you see and believe, he's sixfold deeper. You understand?
Yes.
Everything he lets y'all see on television, he got 6 degrees deeper than what you're seeing.
You mean 6 degrees deeper?
If he shows you a certain type of ship, he has 6 ships that are better, or 6 degrees deeper.
Right. Also, so you're saying not to be afraid if it happens again? Because I didn't really want it to happen, because I was starting to accept it, you know, every time it would happen. And but after a while, I tried to fight, in other words.
Regardless of what I tell you, when that moment comes, you stand alone. I can tell you, don't be afraid, lean into it, go towards it.
Mm-hmm.
Put your spirit into it. But when that moment comes, like I said, there's a special hormone that triggers in your brain that tells you should you go or not. I can tell you, don't be scared.
Yeah.
Easy. Don't be scared.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Now. But when it happens,
after
you'll
a while
decide.
I wasn't, though. I tell you, after a while I got used to it. And
good.
It was like, you know, it was all right.
But then it's all right. That's because something in your aura received this energy and said that it's safe. The same way you look at a person, if they're not frowning, you figure you can walk up to them.
Right.
Well, the spirit says the same thing. It gets around people. Your mother many times told you, I don't like that boy. I don't know much about him.
Yeah.
I don't want him in my house.
Yeah.
There's something about him I don't like. That's
right.
Called mother's intuition. You have this inside of you where you can look at people and you can evaluate their goodness or badness. The same thing happens spiritually. People get around you and they have a negative aura. You know it. A lot of human beings have a dog, and they'll tell you that the dog won't bite you. Don't worry, my dog won't bite you. You look at the dog looks at you like, yes, I will. I won't bite her because I won't bite the hand that feeds me, but I will bite you because you are what she feeds me.
Also, I guess on the same subject, I saw you like sometimes I'll see shadows and whatnot in the form of men. Sometimes this hasn't happened for like a couple years. But like around 1980, I think it was, or 81, you know, I saw this shadow of a man a couple of times, and I thought it was my buddy that was, you know, my roommate up in school. And then after that, I would see like little shadows moving across the floor in the air. And
your problem.
I'm not making any of this up. You know,
you don't have to say that to me. See, I'm not that type of person. You don't have to say that to me. Because I've been having to tell people I'm not making this up for years, so I can understand your feelings. All right. The thing is, your eyes are open. That's all. Not those two eyes, but when Jesus said, let your eyes become one, that one eye, your third eye, is open. You're looking from this world right into the next world simultaneously. So you might see anything. You've got to learn, I'm serious, you've got to learn to discipline yourself. You've got to cut them bad habits.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
You've got to learn to discipline yourself. You've got to change your diet. You've got to learn to fast and pray. You've got to read your scriptures. Because you're connected to both worlds. And when the angelic beings can no longer make contact with you, they will remove themselves from your presence and you'll get plagued by demons.
By demons?
Yes, many times you meet a person, you say, this brother's very spiritual and he has a lot of beautiful things to say, but you know he has these bad habits.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you see him on 42nd Street. I'm serious. It's not funny. It's very serious. You see him as a bag man. Because the angelic beings realized they couldn't reach him, so they stepped away. And the demons attacked him and took his body and sent him crazy. And this is happening to our people all the time. And it's very difficult once the demon gets a hold of you inward and outwardly for anybody to exorcise them away from you.
Is that why sometimes like when it's real cold out, my forehead to get real hot? Can you explain that?
Yeah, exactly. So will your ears. And oftentimes people whose bodies stay at a very high temperature, y'all are healers. So that means there's an abundance of electrical current running through your body. You have the power to put on hands and heal. But you've got to learn to channel it.
Yes.
Because the devil or the demons want people like you better than they want a person with cold hands. They want people that have that power. That's just genetics. It's in you genetically, that's all. So there's nothing to fear. The fear is that if you don't discipline yourself.
Right.
Now you got to be careful because when a white person looks at you, don't you notice they look at you different in the way
they
look at anybody else?
Don't they want to kill the brother?
I don't want to send you crazy now, because I can mess around and send you crazy by saying too many things that are right.
Yeah,
but you understand, he knows the angelic beings who are ascending from the angelic beings who are descending. And he can feel it, and he humiliates you. Let me tell this to the mothers in there. He will humiliate your son in school and keep telling you that your son is a bad kid, a bad kid, a bad kid, because he sees in your son righteousness. And your son cannot comply to the laws of Caesar because he's been groomed to comply to the laws of the Most High spiritually. You send him to the public school, and in that school, those teachers see him, look in his eyes, and see that that's an angel, and start torturing him and saying he's stupid. Not because a child does not learn how to read and write the devil's language, it doesn't mean he's stupid.
Yeah.
It means that he was smart enough not to let it assimilate itself in him.
Yes.
He could be being protected by beings waiting for the truth. Don't always assume your children are dumb because they don't adjust to the white man's society.
Right.
The devil can look at the righteous, see them, and torment them. He sets out to torment them. You understand? He makes life difficult for them at their job, in their school, when you go shopping. Certain Negroes walk in the store, the white man pays them no attention. Soon as you walk in the store, can I help you?
Yep.
And you look at yourself and say, I don't look like a criminal no more than anybody else. But the devil senses something in you, and he wants you.
The question that I'm going to ask you, right, Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, it speaks about the tabernacle, right, and relating to the tabernacle is within man. Now, is that relating to this community right here? And if it is...
Where? In Revelation chapter
21, verse 2.
Where does it say that it's in man?
It says, behold... The tabernacle of Allah is with men.
Verse 3.
That's right.
More than one.
That's right. It's with them. That's right. So but listen what it says. And number, see, what you did is you jumped to three. If you read number two and one, you'll see that it comes down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for the wedding. So it's something that's going to come out of the heaven. It's a place. And if you read all of 21, it actually goes into describing its size and the doors in it and the stones that activate it. The amber-colored lights, it's a ship. They're talking about a large ship. I think I gave a class on last week all about this section. So it's not a spiritual incarnation into people. It's an actual place. It has walls and a floor and a foundation. And the terminology in the language that it's in, you know, in the original language, other than English, it's talking about a place, not a mental thing.
Right, right. Next, I want to ask you, right? They speak about the seven angels. It was hard for me to understand. That's why I have to bring it forth to you.
Well, there's different kind of angels in here. There's angels of plagues in the Revelations.
Mm-hmm.
They have seven angels with seven vowels. Then they have the seven spirits, which are before the throne. And those are the seven archangels who are under Michael. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the Bible, especially the book of Revelation, speaks of seven angels seven different times. And they're not always the same angels.
So what, they can be, they distinguish, they, you know.
Oh, yeah, there's millions and millions of angels. Angels are beings like you are. And they multiply the way you multiply. They are beings. They marry. There's gender. There's males and females amongst them. You know, they do everything you do. In Holy Quran, chapter 37, verse 150, will tell you that angels are females.
You said chapter 37?
Verse 150.
150, right?
I don't have a Quran.
You don't have it? Could somebody read it for him?
Or did we create the angels female while they were witnesses?
You see? It says, Allah did not create the female angels while men were looking on. See, man didn't see that. So man is under the impression all angels are men. But the Quran tells us that there's female angels. So they reproduce like you. The angels are people. They're beings. They just existed before the creation of your world and have evolved further than you are now. You're evolving towards that anyway. You're becoming more sophisticated. You're doing more things spiritual than you all do physical anyway. So you're on that evolutionary scale or that evolutionary elevator towards the angelic state also. Go ahead.
Okay. There is supposed to be no giving and taking of marriage in heaven. And then you did mention something about there being female spirits and they do marry with the males.
First of all, when they speak of no giving and taking of marriage in heaven, they're talking about after Yom Ha'akhir. Okay? After the end of the world, as you know it, when in Revelation they say they're going to usher in a new heaven and a new earth. So the laws pertaining to heaven and earth after Yom Ha'akhir is going to be different than the way they do now. Because scripture mentions the fact that angels are females, they use a gender malaikat, they point it out, all right? And that Iblis himself was a young jinn at one point, okay? There stands to reason if there are male angels like Jibreel, Mikael, female angels, and himself, Azazila, was once a child, what does that imply to you and I? That they do have involvement. Angelic beings, I'm trying to establish in your mind that angelic beings, the way the Christians have given it to you is wrong. They've given you this ghost-like feature, this little fat white baby with wings, or some blonde or blue-eyed creature with rings who's transparent or ectoplasma. Yet throughout the studies of the Bible, as well as the Torah, the scriptures of the prophets, the Quran, we hear mention of angels personifying in human form. Just like when the angel Jibreel came to Muhammad, he came to him as a man. When Jibreel came to Miriam, he came to her as a man. When Michael came to Daniel, he came to him as a man. So angels personify in human form. You follow? Angelic beings in their realm, because they have their realm the way you have your realm. This realm you're in is referred to as Nasut. It gets its root from the word Nas, again, or Ankh, forgetful. It's the root of what you are, people. The angelic world is called Malakut. It gets its root from the same word as angel, Malaika, or to be filled or complete. That is another realm. In the realm in which we dwell, we are as physical as you are in your realm. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
We are just as physical. It's like pouring water in water. Now, on the physical plane, the difference between us and you is because we are thousands and millions of years more mature than you, we know how to personify into the physical form by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Y'all are ever looting towards that. Chances are with the help of Satan you'll never get there, but y'all are going towards that stage where y'all become more mental than physical. From Malakut, we have the power to come back and be physical. Y'all have come down from where we came. This is why throughout the book of St. John, Jesus keeps saying to these people, you don't know where I really came from, and you don't know where I'm really going. And they said, well, we know your mother and father. He said, that's because you don't understand what I am saying. I came down from heaven, and I am going back there. That's what he kept trying to tell them. But he was trying to tell them that he was an extraterrestrial. That when he referred to himself, again, I repeat, as a son of man, or Ibn Insan, that really translates not son of man, not son of a rajul, or a bashar, that son of an insan, of a human being. Son of man translates the son of a human being. Now, if Jesus told him, I am not of this world and my things are not of this world, yet I'm the son of a human being, what part of his nature would identify with which person that we know is a human being? And that would, of course, turn out to be his physical body, correct? Which he separated when he said, my spirit is willing and my flesh is weak. And that physical body came through Mary, which everybody, be Christian, Jew, or Muslim, recognized. And she was Mary, his mother, from the family of Imran, was what? A human being. So when Jesus said he is a son of man, he was referring to his physical being. And when he referred to himself as Ibn Allah, as a son of Allah, he could never have referred to himself as Walad Allah, to be conceived or begotten by Allah. But he said Ibn Allah, he was referring to the fact that his angelic nature, which was the angel Jibreel, came down from heaven. You follow? And when Jibreel came to Miriam, he came to her as a man and endowed her with the Holy Ghost. Jesus in St. John's blew the Holy Ghost on his disciples. So it is possible for one person to convey the Holy Ghost on to another person. So that where when Jibreel, who came as a person, came to Mary, he conveyed the spirit onto Mary, the same way you would when you convey a spirit onto your child. And Jesus told him in St. John again, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. When you see me, you see the Father. Christians have a tendency to stop right there instead of going on to the next two verses, and then he turns to his congregation and says, and I am in you and you are in me. When they see you, they see me. So he was trying to say that when you pick up something from a person, their thoughts, their feelings, their mind, their doctrine, their teachings, and you start to use those teachings, because he kept saying, keep my words and keep the commandments, keep my practices, then you become a representative of that person, the way any Muslim who follows the Sunnah of Muhammad becomes a Sunni Muslim, as they say. You see how they do it? That's another way of Muhammad saying, I am in you and you are in me. Once you take in my way and start acting like me and following my tariq, then I'm in you and you're in me. So therefore we have two personalities here, the human being quality and the angelic being in Jesus. Angelic being the angel Gabriel, who comes as a man. So angelic beings, in the realm from which we come, we do indulge in what you refer to as sex. We reproduce the same way you do. You're a younger stage of evolution. That's all. Man has got to start to look at himself for what he really is, and not what these silly preachers or pastors are passing on to you. You understand? Man is a baby angel. You were at one time a pure angel, and you out of desire fell from grace. Now you're in earth, and you must evolute back to perfection. They call it salihin or salihat in the Quran, to perfect, to fix yourself. You understand? So angels do come together and have sex in their realm. Not always for the same reason that they do in the planet earth, because we were not under the mystical name of the beast, the harlot, who teaches women to remove their veils and teaches men to remove their outer garments so that they create a world of seduction and take people's attention off the path of Allah and obedience to him. This is the trick of the devil, but that's his job. And our next defense is recognizing his job. Recognizing when we look at television how everything is naked and stripped down. Recognize how he's perverting our minds and recognize what he's doing. Once we do that, we got step one mastered. Y'all are on the path again towards becoming angels. Remember that. And angelic beings are nothing but beings like you who are millions of years more advanced in intellect and nearer, therewith, nearer to the Creator. You understand?
Thank you. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الوالي الكريم. وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحكي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد. Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no part? And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the God, and on the Mujaddid, the Reform, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On WGAG Radio.